We start today's program with an exploration of what's next, or should be next, for Arizona's Child Protective Services. Last week, Department of Economic Security Director Clarence Carter revealed that 6,000 reported cases of possible child abuse were set aside and not investigated. Some are calling for Carter to resign his position, but Governor Jan Brewer says she's not going to take any action until the State Department of Public Safety finishes looking into the situation. Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery was co-chair of the Governor's Child Safety Task Force with Clarence Carter and joins me now. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Clarence Carter says he can have all 6,000 cases preliminarily reviewed by Monday. He says all can be investigated to the extent necessary by the end of January. What do you think of those steps so far?
Well, those two steps right there do show that swift action is being taken. And I don't think as the Maricopa County attorney, I could ask for more under the circumstances. Obviously, I don't want the circumstances to begin with, but the concerted effort to get those reviewed, as well as what I saw in the plan, was the utilization of all of the Office of Child Welfare investigators to assist in that, particularly to check for any criminal conduct, is exactly what I would want to see in that regard.
Bill, considering the time you put in as co-chair of this task force, were you surprised when all this came out? What was your first reaction?
What the hell was going on?
Yeah.
That, you know, when the administrative action of classifying some cases as NI or not investigated began in earnest in 2011, Steve, that was the very time that we were up to our necks in trying to figure out what we could do to assist CPS in carrying out their core mission of providing social services to families in need, and yet take away the duty to investigate allegations of criminal conduct for the sole purpose of trying to alleviate the workload and create conditions for success for that agency. And as a result of that work that we did, you had the administration include in their budget request specific resources for CPS, and you had a Republican-controlled legislature that understood that request and provided those very resources. So you had a sort of a perfect storm for CPS to be completely upfront about their resource needs. And instead, that's when they decided to start hiding cases.
Whether people want to blame Clarence Carter or not, whether he should resign, as some have said that he should, it seems like this problem is so enormous, and it has been for so long, that it's not going to take one person to turn it around. It's going to take a lot more than that. If you were designing a system like this, whether Carter stays or not, do there have to be a lot more people involved in the decision-making process? Does there have to be a teardown of CPS?
Well, I think what we need to do at first is check into exactly why and who people thought that this was a good idea, particularly given the environment that I just outlined where CPS was in a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. And my concerns are twofold. One, is it in fact the leadership of the agency that is wholly responsible for what happened, or is there somehow with the current organization of that agency that leads to a culture in which these kinds of actions are seen as not only permissible, but somehow an acceptable form of managing resources? And in that regard, I want to follow the administrative review that the Department of Public Safety is going to conduct and see what we learn from that before taking next steps. Calling for the head of Clarence Carter, I'm sorry, that's political low-hanging fruit, and that's not going to assist us in trying to identify what the root causes are for what happened.
And I guess, Bill, sort of coming back to the same thing, though, when you have something that is identified as systemic failure, clearly it's not Carter's fault, but it seems like there has to be some sort of a modification in terms of the direction that things go. Is CPS, you talk about low-hanging fruit, has this become a political football, and it shouldn't be that because we're talking about the safety of kids?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. I think that you hit the nail on the head for one of the troubling aspects of what has followed with the revelation of this situation and these 6,000 cases. First and foremost, it sends the wrong message that if you, as the head of a department and state government, reveal information that reflects a complete and total failure of an agency that you supervise, that the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to lose your job. That's the wrong message to send. Also, we've got people who are jumping ahead of what needs to be a very sober reflection on what happened. And we've even got agencies that pretend to be advocates for children. For example, the Children's Action Alliance. In 2008, we tried to engage in reforms specifically to change the mission statement for CPS to focus on the protection of children and to put into statute specific protections for children who are victims of crime that I believe would have forestalled this from happening. And it was the Children's Action Alliance that were carrying the veto messages from then-Governor Napolitano that if we did either of those two things, the legislation was doomed for failure. And for them now to want to cherry-pick this issue and act like they're equally appalled, they're part of the reason why we've had the status quo for so long. And we need to get beyond this and stay focused on what are the specific lessons that we can pull out of this? Who are the specific people who were involved? You know, for all the calls for the firing of Clarence Carter, he's the head of DES. He's not the head of CPS. And yet again, we're jumping over the agency and wanting to take out an easy target instead of focusing on where the source of the issue is.
So you're saying Children's Action Alliance is just going after politics here?
Oh, yeah, they're using this as a fundraising tool. I'm disgusted by it. If they were really so concerned about children, look, their willingness to fend off substantial statutory changes in 2008 have led me ever since to refer to them as the Children's Inaction Alliance. They're the last people who ought to be trying to act like they have any kind of moral indignation now at what happened. They were arm in arm with the Napolitano administration back then when we were trying to get things done, as I said, that I believe would have helped forestall this. And I understand it's the political season, but Democrats, and not all of them, but a number of Democrats who are simply calling for Clarence Carter to be fired and for a special session are simply taking advantage of a situation. Let's let the administrative review go through so that we understand the totality of what happened here. Instead of calling for people to get fired and creating an environment in which nobody's going to want to talk or share information that we desperately need in order to try to understand the full context of this.
But Bill, isn't there a point of separation there between whether people are calling for Carter to resign and whether there should be a special session? It seems to me those are two different things. One could be seen as political. The other might be seen as a way of, well, right before the last legislative session when there was emergency funding for CPS, whether funding actually solves the problem or not, it doesn't seem like that's in the same sort of stratosphere to me. This idea that maybe a special session, let's consider this so that when the administration report comes out, we're in a better place to act quickly.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that characterization. If the call for a special session then came on the heels of the report when we know what needs to be acted on. But the call for a special session now, I think, is just way too opportunistic. We don't know the full depths of what happened for a special session to understand the parameters in which it would need to act.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. A few more minutes left with Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery. We're talking about the latest revelations about Child Protective Services. Bill, let's go to this number of 6,000 cases. One of the things you and I talked about in the past when you were co-chair of the task force is this idea of getting more people comfortable with the idea of telling their story, whether it's neighbors, whether it's people who see something that may be abuse and are willing to come forward to talk about it. When we hear about all these cases, whether the ball was dropped on them or not, are we seeing more cases or are we seeing people more comfortable reporting them?
Well, I think that's two sides of the same coin. I think the reason why we're seeing more cases and there are more calls to the hotline is because people heard the call, no pun intended, to be more involved, and if they thought that they saw evidence of potential abuse or neglect, to then report it. Because under both our civil and criminal statutes in Arizona, you can make an honest mistake, no harm, no foul, and better for you to be embarrassed for a couple of weeks than to live a lifetime of regret because you failed to report something and a fatality resulted as a consequence of that. So I think what underlies this point, too, that you're raising, I don't want the public, whether Maricopa County or around the state, to become so disenchanted and cynical with the child welfare system that they simply throw up their hands and walk away from it. We need the public to continue to be involved and to report when they believe they see instances of abuse and neglect, in particular our mandatory reporters. And that's why this is so maddening to me, too. We did get the public response. So now it is incumbent upon the child welfare system to honor that response and to fulfill its statutory mandate.
When we started our conversation, I mentioned some of the plans that Clarence Carter has outlined. The plan was released a few hours later than people expected it to be. First of all, do you think it was sufficiently detailed? Do we know enough about what the steps are? I outlined, as I said, a couple of the steps. Is there enough detail there? And part two of that, which I guess is the exact opposite question, which is the fact that we have these cases, and now we have, whether we're going to blame Carter or we're going to blame somebody else, the ball was dropped in a major way. Are we better off actually having this plan outlined really quickly and have it be some sort of half-baked plan as opposed to waiting until a good plan, a real plan that is comprehensive, can come out?
Well, one of my favorite Patton quotes is that a good plan well executed is better than the best plan poorly executed. And in this particular instance, I don't think we can lose sight of the fact that we had the identification, report, public disclosure, and a plan to address it occur all within roughly a two-week period. For bureaucracy, that's lightning speed. So the other thing that I would point out, and I respect the fact that there are some fellow members of the Oversight Committee, including some of the chairs of it, who wanted to see more detail. And I'm not going to fault their criticism. Their focus is different than what I'm looking at it for, which is to get the cases reviewed and to get investigations initiated as quickly as possible. So in those terms, the fact that there are such short deadlines and the time horizon is so quick, the fact that there are not additional details in there, I can live with, because we're going to know in short order whether or not those deadlines have been met. And then if they haven't been met, we've got the mechanism to demand accountability and to demand answers for what's going on and what's going to be done to ensure that these reviews are very thorough. So in that sense, while the plan may not have been detailed enough to sort of list every single person who may be involved in it, it identifies the specific goals for case review and investigation initiation within a short enough time frame that, even if I don't have a name on there, I know what's supposed to happen. I know when it's supposed to happen, so that we then will be able to review that and to have a measure of accountability if it doesn't. We're not waiting 6 months from now, but we're looking at the end of January for all investigations to have been initiated and kids to be checked up on.
Bill, finally, a two-part question about money. First of all, do you think more money should be put into CPS, and is funding going to become a partisan issue again, even though we're talking about the safety of kids?
I'll address the second part of that first, and then ask you if you need to remind me of the first part. Funding and the resources should not be a partisan issue, and it wasn't with the request for emergency resources for CPS once a specific need was identified. It wasn't then. It doesn't need to be going forward. However, the role that additional resources will play for CPS, I believe, also fairly, from the entire legislature's viewpoint, has got to come with a greater degree of accountability. If you're going to give CPS additional resources, positions, / personnel, and money, then, and this is something else I would look for from this administrative review, it has to be spent, those positions need to be assigned, so that we do not have a repeat of this. And I think it's fair to ask for specific plans on where those monies would be spent and where those positions would go. And one other thing I don't want to lose in all of this either, with the focus on CPS, is that the Office of Child Welfare Investigations right now only has 30 people assigned to it in total. And they need additional resources too, so that they can carry out their statutory mandate. And thank God we've got the people there that we do. Otherwise, I don't believe we ever would have heard about this. I think the insulated culture and the refusal to share information that has so often been a constant characteristic of CPS would have kept this information from ever coming out.
Bill Montgomery is Maricopa County Attorney.